guys, welcome back.
Hi.
So I'm going to be telling you a story today. Both of you. You and the audience.
Wow.
Wow.
Who's telling the story today?
Tara. Me.
Wow.
I have no better way of saying this than this is going to be a hard episode. This is going to be a very graphic episode. This is just a huge neon trigger warning, basically. This is going to be a lot about sexual assault. This is basically the whole case is going to be that. So if that's something that you don't really want to listen to right now, I'll probably click off. Maybe click back later. Maybe not.
I can't click off.
You can't click off. You're stuck here. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I know it. I'm sorry.
This is a Robert Wong.
No, but it's probably going to make you just as mad, if not more mad.
Why do you do this to me?
Oh, because I like to frustrate you.
What did I ever do to you?
Well, you were my friend and you asked for this. 1/3 of women in the U.S. military are raped by other soldiers, the Department of Defense states.
Oh, God.
1/3.
Mm-hmm.
Most often, it's dismissed, unpublicized, disbelieved, or furtively dealt with as to, you know, hush hush, avoid public disgrace and knowledge. Yeah, they don't want that out. It's an absolutely abhorrent statistic. I saw your face when I read it. It's way higher than you think it would be, to at least that I thought. I thought maybe like 16 would be high enough. It 33.3%, that's a lot.
That is of a people. Lot.
Some theorize that this rise in numbers is due to the fact that the very transformation from civilian life to that of a soldier's life is dehumanizing. The militarization of individuals made them more likely to act on impulse, all this jazz, specifically violent impulse. I'll go into more depth with it as well. But this isn't really me saying this. This is just people. This is what I've gathered from the internet. According to The Guardian, the website. Rape can be systemic and more systemic than usual. In other words, because war turns soldiers into dehumanized versions of themselves. So that's their theory.
Oh, God.
So that the R word is going to be a very much part of this case. And it's kind of paining me to throw it out there again and again and again. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep happening. I'm sorry. It's hard. I have a theory that the rape statistic may also be contributed to by, like, an ingrained misogyny, maybe, in military life, or a vestige of it. So, like, well, I've never been in the military, and I've had very limited exposure to it. I'm not going to pretend that I've been around families and have been on bases and things like that. You have much more of an experience with it than I actually do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can correct me if I veer. I do know that this historically has been a very predominantly male career.
Right.
And in such lines of work, there usually remains a vestige of misogyny because it's so male dominated.
Right.
You just can't avoid it. It's how they're socialized, at least in the past.
That's where I see this coming from, is mostly that it is a male predominant career field. Which can lead to some misogyny just because it is predominantly male.
Male. And, you know, it most good apples, bad apples in the bunch. You know, that whole thing. And I say the word vestige and I really mean it, because vestige is kind of, it means it's a remnant of something that is past. It's no longer in use. So, like, example of a vestige of misogyny in a career is assuming that a doctor, sometimes you just think of a male in a white coat.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a thing. It's just kind of a thing. It may be a contributing factor to lessening the female presence in the military and perhaps aid in dehumanizing or objectifying her, vindicating the assault in some demented way. Now, dehumanizing practices such as desecration of bodies and violence to civilians, something that is completely inexplicable to just the average civilian like you and I, is increased in likelihood in the military. It's just kind of a fact.
This
we're going into it. I know it's a lot.
This episode is like,
yeah, it's a bit painful. I'm sorry. These behaviors, to my knowledge, are not condoned in any way, but are unfortunately still practiced in some areas. Specifically, I remember reading a lot about the, I think I'm pronouncing this right, the Bagram-based detention center. There's a high correlation of suicide rate, in general, of veterans in more recent wars. And some speculate that this is due to the brutal practices of torture and desecration and illegal detention that are now a part of foreign occupation of countries. So we will go into the countries as a military, and I, you know, obviously I'm not part of the military. I'm not privy to the actual laws that they practice. So I don't know for sure, but from what I read, they're a little more lax on how we treat the occupants of that country. So that being said, that was a little bit of a brief into this.
Okay.
Now I'm getting into the actual case. This is the case of the suspicious death of Tina Priest. All right. I have had a lot of trouble finding really credible sources for this case. I have found one that made me squeal upon finding, because I was very excited to find it, because it's been that hard to find credible sources for this case.
When Tara was researching this, obviously she wasn't telling me anything that she was finding, but we were sitting in the same room and she was like, I don't know what to do. I'm not finding that many credible sources. And then she did find that one and she was like, oh, this one's gonna work. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And I kept making noises and she kept looking at me and I was like, it's you'll see. So I will get to that. The tinfoil hat theorist in me says that this is probably due to the fact that the perpetrator's either being protected or inadvertently shielded by the military, but that's just that, you know, tinfoil hat. All right, because of this, the academic in me is not satisfied with the credibility of my sources, and I'm going to go ahead and blatantly say that, because most of my sources have .com and .org, what's the word I'm looking for? Web links?
Yes.
Domains. There we
Look
go.
Look at you. Yay. I'm the one that goes to art school and doesn't know the name. C-sharp. So sorry.
But I have cross-examined the information. I've included that which appeared in multiple areas, and therefore it has more clout. Much of the information I'm gleaning and will be referencing is from Anne Wright, a veteran herself, who resigned from service due to personal opposition of the Iraq War, as well as the transcription of a government meeting, which I will be referencing a lot. I'm going to be referencing that probably about 3 times, and you'll know, the specifics of which I will tell later.
This, I just want to take and put a little disclaimer in here. We're not intentionally bashing.
Oh, I have that disclaimer in here.
Okay, sorry.
I do. I can go ahead and read that real quick. So, I just want to make it clear that this is not meant to disrespect anyone, and this is not meant to disrespect the military, and I'm very aware of the people that are giving their freedom and their time and their lives and their families a way to fight and preserve my freedom to make this podcast. And I...
That doesn't negate the statistics.
No.
I agree. We're not intentionally trying to bash the military.
That's exactly it.
But these are legitimate statistics. These are not made up.
And there's a glorification of the military so that these kinds of statistics never come to light. And the whole purpose of our podcast is to bring things that may be unilluminated and otherwise disillusioned into the light. So these are statistics that people may not know, and it may be touchy. It's not going to be a nice thing to hear, because it wasn't for me. It really ripped the veil off for me, and it's going to be hard to hear, but it's something that needs to be said. So I'm going to continue. Her name was Tina Priest. She was 20 years old, from Smithville, Texas, a part of the 5th Support Battalion, 1st Brigade Combat Team, and 4th Infantry Division in Fort Hood, Texas. I'm very unfamiliar with the military, so I didn't know if any of that was particularly more important than the other, so I just included all of it. She, too, was a victim of rape at the hands of a fellow soldier. His sperm was found on her sleeping bag.
Oh, God. We're just getting right into it.
We're getting right into it. In the wake of physical evidence, in the stead of a dishonorable discharge and perhaps a charge for sexual misconduct or assault back in the States, he was punished by being given extra duties for a month and a half, was restricted to the base for a month, and had his wages garnished by 700 and a miscellaneous amount for 2 months. In my opinion, that's a very lenient sentence for sexually brutalizing someone.
So this was done outside of the States is when he raped her?
Yes. Okay. From what I could glean, it was in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
It's no wonder most women don't come forward with this kind of information. Usually they're not believed, is my experience in reading, like around in forums, is that if they did tell, they were told to shut up or they'd be discharged dishonorably. Most allegations never even got to the admonishment stage. So most were just told to hush, hush, you know. Just 11 days after her rape, Tina was found dead in her room, March 1st, 2006.
Oh my God.
The army claimed that she was killed by a self-inflicted gunshot wound by an M16.
Oh my God.
Okay. This is something you gotta understand here. I read this like 5 times because I just couldn't get it through my head. Tina was 5 foot. She was a petite girl. Okay, so I researched the average arm length for a woman. I couldn't find what it was for a 5 foot woman, but for the average human arm length, it's 25 inches. Okay.
I believe your like wingspan is your equivalent to your height.
Yes, but like for one arm.
Yeah.
For one arm, it's like 25 inches from shoulder to wrist. The length of an M16 rifle, it's 39.5 inches.
Oh.
When faced with this contradictory information, the army flubbed several attempts at explaining this away. And the family was like, no, that's not right. This can't be right. She would not have done that. She was upset by the rape, but she would not have killed herself. And the army officially concluded to this day that the only way Tina Priest could have killed herself is by shooting herself in the head, pulling the trigger with her big toe.
Oh my God.
That sound a little weird to you?
Absolutely.
That sounds a little weird to me.
Uh-huh. What, was this while she was deployed?
Yes, she was in Iraq. She was in a specific camp that I'll go into. It's actually called Camp Taji. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm very sorry if I'm butchering that name.
Wait. Okay, I'm sure you're going to get into all of this.
As far as the specifics of her death, that's pretty much all I have. And I had to search really hard for just that little amount of information. Honestly, I speculated that she shot herself in the head because it immediately killed her. I don't know for sure. I couldn't find that information. There's so little about her. I'll get into that as well. But Camp Taji, the same camp that she was killed at, had classified 8 women as dying from non-combat related injuries. One of these women was found dead only 10 days after Tina's death.
I'm very interested to know what the statistic is the amount of people that died there and how many of them were specifically women.
Right? I was trying to find that information, right? I could not find anything except for old statistics. Yeah. Statistics from 2006, 2008 at latest. And it was only from that woman I was talking about earlier, Anne Wright. She seems to be the only person that's reporting it. And she's a veteran, so I assume that she maybe had some kind of experience on the inside that made her ticked off to this and was like, there's something wrong here. Yeah. Something rotten in Denmark. And she's just not been able to get over it. It's almost non-existent.
Yeah.
But one of these women was found dead only 10 days after Tina's death. Three of these women were raped sometime before their death. Two immediately before their deaths. And another before she had shipped to Iraq. And that is just in this camp.
How many was that? That was like 5 out of 8?
Out of 8. And the other 3, we don't really know.
That is insane.
That's disgusting. Tina Priest, Amy Dirksen, Jeanette Dunn, Keisha Morgan were among those suspiciously deceased at just this one camp.
That is bizarre.
It's very weird. And the fact that I couldn't find any more information on it is even stranger. More
bizarre.
And if anyone else has more luck than I, please DM us, because I'd love to look into it. I couldn't find anything on it.
That's terrifying.
So
all of these you got from Anne Wright? Is that what you're saying?
I got from Anne Wright. She wrote an article in 2006, and she also wrote an updated article in 2008. And I kind of combined and compared those statistics. And I took the ones, I believe, from 2008.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. When did this happen?
This happened in 2006.
2006.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have any actual updates on these statistics and if they've worsened or not. I do have evidence that the government does know that this is a problem, because the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform met and talked about these cases of these suspicious deaths of these women.
Yeah.
And there's one that I haven't even talked about that is a buzz on the internet. And her name is Lavina Johnson. And
that name sounds familiar.
Yeah. It should. She's everywhere. And that's why I didn't cover her this case, just because her case is absolutely astounding. It's terrifying. I will get into it in a little bit. But I found Tina Priest's case so much harder to find that I felt like it was more important, not more important, but I felt like it was more pressing to cover because she had so little coverage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to focus on her. That's also why I only have about 2 paragraphs on her. I wish I had information on her childhood. I wish I had information on what she liked and what she was like. I don't. I couldn't find that anywhere. But Elijah Cummings, a member of the committee I mentioned just a minute ago, the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, hailing from Maryland, had this to say. Now, this is a paragraph I quote from him. And it's one of those things where I couldn't have paraphrased it better. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it.
Okay.
I can only imagine the real number of our men and women in uniform who have suffered through a sexual assault ordeal in theater. For instance, of the bases located in Iraq, Camp Taji has reported a high incidence of female soldiers that have fallen victim to sexual assault and later met their untimely death by suicide.
Oh my God.
There are even additional reports by the press indicating that these numbers at Camp Taji may be much higher, including 8 victims from Fort Hood alone that reported an incident of sexual assault and later allegedly committed suicide.
Wow.
And that's a quote from him. His use of the word allegedly, it makes me think that he understands the absurdity with which most of these cases present. I mean, you pulled the trigger with your big toe?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Now, I have said that Tina was killed at Camp Taji and stuff. That's obvious. And legally, that's speculation. There's no culprit pinned to her murder. They did know who raped her, but not who murdered her, because she wasn't technically murdered. I cannot in good conscience say that she killed herself.
On paper, she killed herself.
Yes.
But the evidence suggests otherwise.
Exactly. Every logical bone in my body is screaming that it does just not make any sense, which is why I had to make that clarification.
She's 5 feet tall.
Yeah. And they didn't say she was exactly 5 foot tall. She's 5 foot tall. They just said she was a 5 foot tall woman. So I assumed that meant 5 foot. So she might have been 5'1", 5'2". It doesn't really make that much of a difference to me. Because if the average length of an arm is 25 inches and the average length of an M16 is almost 40, you can't double that. There's no way.
Yeah.
I want to say that the information on Tina Priest alone was exceedingly hard to find. She was buried in the annals of the internet, colliding with countless other names, specifically Lavinia Johnson. I'm not going to go into the details of her case overbearingly, although I will give a few. It's an entirely different, infuriating story with the same theme, that they say she killed herself. There is no way in hell she did that. I'm sorry. There isn't. She had corrosive acid poured in her genitals. She had gloves glued to her hands where they were burned.
Oh.
There was a trail of blood from someone else's tent to her tent where she was found. There are so many things. Her teeth were broken backwards in her head. Her nose was broken.
This is Lavina?
This is Lavinia Johnson. And I wanted to do a case on her because it's just horrible. What her family had to go through, it gives me horrible chills because I can't imagine. But I really wanted to give Tina Priest this opportunity because Lavinia's already had quite a few podcasts done about her. And I haven't found one specifically on Tina. Now, I really recommend that anyone listening to this look up Lavinia Johnson's case. I found it very interesting.
Were they at the same camp?
No, not that I could find. They may have both been in Iraq, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
The documentation that I said that I was very excited to find. It was an entire, what's it called? It was an entire transcript of a meeting of the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. This has shown me that officials were indeed aware of the problem. But when they presented a few of the cases in brief, they neglected to mention the most incriminating of details, like the ones I just said to you about Lavinia. And they even spelled Lavinia's name wrong. Yeah. And it's, like, repeatedly. Throughout the document, I don't know. According to the Department of Defense, 41% of female soldiers that died in Iraq alone died in non-combat related incidents. Now, this could mean disease. This could mean vehicular incidents. This could mean anything that really does not include being shot or killed by an enemy. According to Jane Harman, the congressional representative of the state of California, in this congressional meeting I was talking about, women serving in the U.S. military today are more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than killed by enemy fire in Iraq.
Oh my God.
Let me say that again. Women serving in the U.S. military today are more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than killed by enemy fire in Iraq.
I have said over and over again, oh my God, because I literally don't have the words to express the way I feel.
That should be something on the front cover of every recruitment pamphlet for any female going into the military. That's horrible. Why aren't we doing anything about it? And the fact that I saw that this case was put before the committee, it both made me happy that government officials know, and it also made me disgusted that this was 10, 12, 15 years ago, and what has been done? I haven't heard of legislation passed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but... Now, this can be taken a lot of ways. And I want to specify that I understand the immense sacrifice that it takes to be a soldier. And this episode in no way is meant to diminish the qualities and nature of being a soldier. However, there is no justice for these women. There are countless families that lay with fabricated or hastily concocted cover stories that end their children's lives. These people deserve answers, and these soldiers deserve justice. Now, to conclude, I'm going to quote Jane Harmon once again. She addressed the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform one last time. "Most of our servicewomen and men are patriotic, courageous, and hardworking people who embody the best of what it means to be an American. The failure to stem sexual assault and rape in the military runs counter to those ideals and shames us all."
I have so many times wanted to, like, have a conversation in the middle of this, but I cannot even express how terrifying that is.
Yeah, it's horrifying. It, like, literally puts a cold fire in my skeleton. Like, I'm scared. Because there are women who are fighting for my freedom, and they're being assaulted.
Not only are they fighting for your freedom, but they're also fighting to be in the same, just in the same camp as other soldiers.
Yeah.
With the potential of being assaulted by their comrades.
Their comrades. The ones that they would give their lives to save. And they're being betrayed. Like, I can't imagine a more ultimate betrayal except by a family member. Like, how horrible. Like, and I know most, I'd like to think that most military members are not like that. But then again, you know, it's, the statistics are there for a reason. And we got to think about it. We got to think about what can be done to prevent this from climbing. I was reading that, from 2004 to 2006, 73%, rape had a in the military had a 73% incline. Wow. From just those 2 years. Those 2 years. And now I don't have any current statistics, but, and so hopefully some action has been taken. I couldn't find anything on it, which is kind of weird to me. But it makes me angry that no one for either Lavinia or Tina or the other women I named earlier.
That statistic is extremely high.
It's extremely high. And there were so many. I had to sift through pages of women who have died in suspicious circumstances, whose families say, this is not how she died. She came back to me damaged. She came back to me not the same. She didn't look the same. She didn't feel the same. There were families that swore that something had happened to their baby. And I'm not going to say that that didn't happen, but everyone else apparently is. And it just gives me the ew. Yeah.
It's hard for me to, I don't know. I don't even know where to even begin to have a conversation on this because
you've been awfully quiet this episode.
Because it's hard, because on the inside I'm like, I don't know if everybody gathered from that intro that Tara said about me having more knowledge about it. I am an army brat, which feels weird saying it out loud. But, so it's hard to hear some of these things. Yeah. Although I have seen those statistics before. And it's hard for me to have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to
offend.
I don't want to offend or dismiss anything that anyone who's gone into the military has done.
Exactly.
But when you hear those statistics, it's horrific.
It's terror. It's just absolute terror. And I did ask Kelsey multiple times before we shot this up. I don't want you guys to think that I just sprung this on her, because that would be cruel and unusual.
I will say I didn't know, obviously, because our format is that we do surprise each other with cases that the other person hasn't heard of
before. Correct.
I wasn't aware of the depth of this conversation, but I'm not going to say that it's not a conversation that we should be having.
Correct.
It's very important that we bring this to light because there is a victim in this scenario.
Yeah, many victims.
Many victims, obviously. Specifically, the highlight of this episode, though, Tina. Mm-hmm. The fact that it is so hard to find so much information about her when the evidence doesn't line up with what the official story is. I just don't know where to go from here.
Yeah. And the thing is, the thing that I want to keep reiterating is it could be the military, it could be a corporation, it could be a small community in Somalia. It could just it really doesn't matter. It's something that has not been covered. And it doesn't mean that I have a prejudice against this community. It doesn't mean that I don't dislike this community. It just means that this is a statistic that has been overlooked. That's why we're covering it. That's pretty much it.
That's what our podcast is here to do.
Correct.
To talk about undercover cases. And it hurts to hear these things. Like it's going to hurt anybody to hear these things.
I mean, I'm an American child. I mean, this sucked to hear. I was like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is horrific to hear. Like, if this was any case.
Yeah.
Or any scenario, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we are talking about it.
Yeah.
Rape is not justified in any situation.
No.
Murder is generally not justified in situations, but there is instances where it is. Either, you know,
self-defense,
things like that. But murder. But rape has no justifiable reason.
Ever. I don't care if you're intoxicated. I don't care if you're out of body experiencing things, dissociating. I don't care.
There is no reason.
No.
There is no
none
reason in hell.
Nope.
That is something that is okay.
Nope.
With all of the suspiciousness also around her death, all of it, it's horrifying.
Yeah. Especially, I wish I could go more into detail with Lavinia, just because it is appalling. I really recommend you read up on it.
Yeah.
After we stop filming, I honestly might read you a little more on it because
that is insane.
It gets even more outrageous, and I'll leave some of the details out for listeners who want to research on their own. All right, on that somber note, we always end on somber notes.
I know. Well, I guess that's.
I mean, I guess it's the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Right. I mean, that's what we're here to do.
This one in particular. This was probably our most somber one.
I would say that this one is probably the one that, like, really hurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this one was definitely the most painful.
Not
discrediting anyone.
It's just
this one. Oh, man. This actually gave me anxiety.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
This one has left me been like, I don't know what to even say.
Yeah. You've been awfully quiet this time. And I think we just, I don't know.
I feel like a lot of it speaks for itself.
Yeah,
exactly. I have no commentary to add.
Because more than 50% of this is statistics.
And there's nothing I can dispute. There's nothing I can have any sort of commentary
about.
Because as a human, I feel like any human with empathy or logic would understand that these things are horrific.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to hear me say that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. On that note, guys.
I will, although that this is a very somber and sad episode, and obviously it's very touchy. I still would like to add this little segue in here. We do have social media.
We do!
If you'd like to have any sort of conversation with us regarding any case, those links will be included in the description. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter.
Or if you'd like to recommend a case, we love those! You should do that.
Yes.
DM us on Instagram. You can tweet to us.
Any of that. And we will also give you a shout out. Like, wouldn't you
right?
love to hear us talk about you?
Give you a plug.
In a good way. Not a bad way.
Not a bad way.
Yeah.
No, we're not about that.
No. No, I just meant like, because we usually talk about sad things. So we don't want to talk about you in a sad way. We want to talk about you in a good way.
Yeah, good way. Give us good things to talk about.
Exactly. Like I said, I'll leave those in the description.
And if you want any more details on any of these cases, also DM us. I will DM you the information.
And we also just like, we're opening up the conversation for you guys to have with us. Exactly. So.
We love conversations. That's basically what we do. Conversate.
Conversate.
Is that a verb?
We can use it as one.
Okay.
I think it
I think it might be.
I think it is a verb.
I think it is a verb too.
I don't know, man. I go to art school.
All right. Cue theme song.